Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks in to your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Choosing the right property management system is a big deal. And we did our research, tried different platforms, and for years, Hostly has been the best fit for our business.
It's not just a PMS. It's how we run everything. Managing listings across Airbnb, Vrbo, and Booking.com, easy. No double bookings, no stress.
And let's talk about guest experience. The custom guidebooks, they are game changer. Guests get check-in details, your house rules, and even favorite restaurants before they have to ask.
Plus, it integrates with everything. Guest screening, direct booking payments, and even in-house damage waivers, which you know we love. And their new Inbox AI, it pulls from your guidebooks and property details to help you answer guest questions faster.
And right now, TFE listeners get an even bigger discount. Hostly just upgraded your deal to $500 off onboarding.
Yep, that means if you sign up for an annual plan, your onboarding is completely free. If you go monthly, you get 50% off your onboarding fee.
So go to hostly.com/TFE and book your demo and grab the discount using code TFE500. The link will also be in the show notes.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do each and every week, and that is sharing one of you, our incredible listeners, who's heading on over to strshare.com. Sharing everything you can about your short-term rental so we can celebrate you here on the podcast and on our Instagram account on Sundays. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
We are sharing at Throwback Surf Shack. What I love about this property, for those of you that are buying a home that needs maybe a little bit of rehab and you're trying to pick and choose, like most of us have a budget, the Throwback Surf Shack did an excellent job. I can tell in their bathroom, they have some of that old pink tile that a lot of people would just chuck and get rid of. No, they kept it. They leaned into it. They upgraded some new stuff, but kept that. I also see they have some like wood paneling wall. But again, they brought that into this throwback surf shack. So think about when you're rehabbing, what are some things that you could keep and lean into? But I can tell they were like, you know what? We got to redo the whole kitchen. So they spent the money there, and I'm sure once they did the kitchen, they were like, all right, what else can we keep that really we could lead into? So I think that's a nice job of keeping some of those retro elements, maybe helping their budget. And if it wasn't to help their budget, because I love it, good for you also. But check it out. They've done a nice job of keeping those elements there. And I love the front door color, so make sure to check it out. Other thing I want to share, they have some lifestyle photos. I want you to go through their Instagram feed and see how they've done some lifestyle photos woven throughout also. I know people are trying to do some more of those shoots at their home, and this will be a good place for inspiration.
All right. Let's head into today's episode, and it is about starting your own meetup in your own community. If you want to be the leader in your community for short-term rentals, and you might want this for a variety of reasons. Maybe you want to create a trusted network for partnerships or vendors, or you want to network with people who might want to sell you their property, or maybe you want to
co-host looking for clients.
There are so many reasons why becoming a leader for short-term rentals in your community could be beneficial. And we're going to share a little story about how Annette and I did this very thing, but we see some of you out there wanting to step up, wanting to be leaders, wanting to be the go-to experts in your, not only in your community, but beyond. And we've been there, and we want to share everything we know.
Yeah, we've hosted a ton of these meetups, so we just want to give you the how-to, step-by-step.
Annette, let's go down memory lane.
Yes.
And reminisce about our short-term rental meetup that we hosted.
It was so fun. It really was game changing for us. We started this meetup, and this is pre-COVID. So we are, you know, we're taking
2018.
Yeah, 2018, 2019. And we literally were like, we want to meet more hosts. We want to be the go-to people. We want to know all the hosts. We want to be a positive impact in the community. And we were like, how can we meet and connect with as many hosts as possible? Because you know, you can't go out there and try to like, I mean, there's some Facebook groups and stuff. And we were like, but we want to actually get to know them. We want to meet in person. We want to learn from each other. And we went to meetup.com and invested in, there is a small investment there, but we decided that we wanted to start our own meetup here in Columbus. And it was awesome.
Let me go over some of the other reasons why it was important for me to host the meetup. I just moved to Columbus, Ohio, and I wanted to meet new people. And meeting people who do what you like to do and talk about what you like to talk about, obviously, like, isn't that what makes a great friendship? Is that you have common interests. And I knew that doing short-term rentals, Airbnbs, was going to be my full-time focus. And so I got to meet, I mean, I was trying to build a co-hosting business so I could meet new clients there. Mm-hmm. Also, it was around this time that our community, our Columbus, Ohio, was considering putting on some pretty strict regulations to short-term rentals. We were all in support of fair regulations, but we knew that if we could get the Airbnb community together,
harness the power of the group.
Yes, and start talking about, hey, because a lot of people aren't active in their local government, and it can be scary and overwhelming, but we knew if we can get everyone together and kind of introduce them with pizza and soda and like a bar, right? Like that it's not so scary. It is something that we can actually speak up and be responsible hosts in our community, but also fight for our right to host responsibly. So I just think there are so many layers to why being a leader and hosting a meetup could be beneficial to any of you out there.
And we met, we still have so many good friends that we met during that meetup that we still hang out with, we go on vacation with. But the biggest thing too is like there were new people coming to the meetup that had never hosted. So it was also a way for us to help new hosts figure out, did they really want to become Airbnb hosts? And I'm just telling you that we were blown away with how many people attended all of our meetups. It was standing room only. And we're not going to lie, it was nerve-wracking in the beginning.
And it was work.
And it was work. And we did have to invest. So we invested, it was like $50 for meetup.com. We invested our own money to buy the said pizza and soda that Sarah was talking about. But we were lucky enough to have a local host who had an event venue. That's a pro tip for you. If you can find a host that also has a venue, they donated the venue to us, which really was a game changer for getting the meetup off the ground.
I want to bring up a small controversial aspect of this story that I think will be helpful for any of you out there.
There was already.
So when I moved here, I joined a Facebook group for local hosts. And I, listen, you guys, if you don't know me by now, I am a go-getter. I like to be bossy. I like to be the leader. I like to be in charge. I like to take action. Actually, more than any of those things, I like to take action. I like to be moving. And I mentioned something to the Facebook host
coordinator that like, hey, if you ever wanted to host something in person, I'm here to help. And they probably saw me as stepping on their toes. I can maybe be a little bit much, and I get that. But he really said thanks, but no thanks. And then time went by and there was no in-person meetup. So I decided to, well, I think Annette and I decided, I don't know how it all went down, but to host our own. So I guess the moral of that story is like, even if someone else is a leader in your community mm-hmm. and they're not doing things exactly how you would, or they're not being.
Or you see an opportunity.
You see an opportunity, or they don't want to collaborate with you. Like, don't let that be the reason you don't do it.
It doesn't mean you're in competition with them.
No.
You just have a different offering.
Yes. Everything's fine. And we had the meetup, and it was great. It was so fun. I don't regret anything. First things first, you got to find out where you're going to do this. When you find out where, then you can find out a date. But the where, Annette, is kind of a, what are some things that you should think about when it comes to finding where?
When it comes to finding where, and I posted a lot of different meetups in a lot of different industries. Number one is the capacity. So you want to make sure you have enough room, hopefully if the event is a huge success or if it grows over time. But that doesn't mean you can't start small. So the capacity of the venue, parking. Mm-hmm. Parking is so important. People will literally leave if they can't find a place to park or if it's not easy to park. Some people are nervous, you know, and also this is taking up part of their day. And so you just want to make sure that parking is easy and that the capacity is there. And then third, it is, I want to say, centrally located. So for us, you know, we always made sure ours was in our downtown, which is the center of our city. So those are three things. If you can, you know, hit all of those, you're going to be good to go.
Of course, asking, once you find a area of your town that you want to host it in, money is going to be a concern. There mm-hmm. are some places that might have you spend a minimum amount. Mm-hmm. They might just charge you a flat rate. And obviously, you're doing this because you want to hang out with other people who love what you love, and you might not be ready or willing to promise that you're going to spend $500 that night or $1,000 that night.
Right. So we don't want you spending a ton of money. You can find, I have always, let me, this caveat, we have always been able to find sponsors for the location and or food and beverage. So, and the location is a lot of times, hey, we're going to be buying, you know, if there is a place that sells food and beverage that maybe you'd be buying it from them. People could buy cocktails if they wanted, or they also wanted the marketing for people coming right. through their doors of like, oh, we're going to bring in X amount of people that will see your venue and maybe they'll want to share it, you know, their experience with others. So I would really try to get a complimentary place.
Hosting it on a weekday that isn't as busy will support what Annette just said in terms of like, hey, Tuesday nights, like we find a lot of our meetups happen on Tuesday night.
Yep.
because Thursday and Friday, they're already nights where people go out and hit the scene. Wednesday, I think Tuesday or Wednesday are both great days mm-hmm. to look into. And then don't forget the power of your own network. If you're on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, ask a story. Say, hey, is there anyone out there that has a small venue where I could host a local meetup? And I'm looking for something where we could, whether exchanging shout outs or bringing people to your venue on a less busy day in exchange for the space and spending money at your bar. What have you got? And even if you don't follow someone who has a place, someone might know someone. Just never forget the power of your own network. It's Absolutely. Bigger than you think it is. All right. The next step, or step two, is planning and finding speakers. Now, you don't have to have education as part of your meetup.
Right.
You don't have to have a speaker.
Absolutely.
But
it helps to have a focus.
It does.
Of the event. Any meetup that I've ever hosted or participated in, there's always been a theme, some education, Q&A, and then networking.
Yeah.
And we know in the beginning, hey, if you want to be the leader, like our first meetup, we were the speakers. So please take that time for you to shine. But it's so nice. We can give you some ideas. Some of the other speakers that we had a city council member come in who was also a short-term rental owner, which was awesome because we kind of got like political host there, which mm-hmm. was a really cool perspective. We had, I think we had some like lenders come in, some real estate agents, stagers, just a bunch of different.
Ooh, a really good one was
host adjacent businesses.
Experience Columbus came once.
Yeah.
So any
tourism, if you have a tourism group, they love to come in and chat. So this is where also this is that byproduct of that networking that we're talking about. It's so fun to be able to invite people to this event that you're hosting. So if there's someone in your community that you've been wanting to rub elbows with, create that relationship, this is an awesome opportunity to create that invitation for them. And what's really could be really cool is some of our meetups, which were amazing, where you can have multiple, you could actually have multiple speakers and have a panel. And so we've done panels where there would be like multiple hosts and they would kind of tell their different stories of the way that they host. So a panel is a fun way to bring in extra speakers also.
And as you're planning it out, it can be the chicken or the egg, right? You can have the person that you would love to have come speak and then they determine the theme of that meetup that month if you do this monthly. Or maybe there's like everyone keeps in my area is talking about pricing. And so I want to get someone who's a pricing expert, right? Or again, you could be that expert and you brush up on your pricing skills and you present, but it can go either way where there's a topic. And so you need to find a speaker or the speaker you love and they kind of dictate the topic. But having some sort of topic or theme can really bring people out. If it's just to hang out, it might not get the people who are more wallflowers like myself. I want to know that if I'm coming out for a meetup, that I'm going to take something away specifically. I always end up taking away a great relationship, a person I met, but that's not top of mind for me. Like, I want to be able to learn something. And so when you're shouting it out on your Instagram or your TikTok or your Facebook group,
and
you can
just
say,
on meetup.com, you can say what the actual
theme is,
topic is. Step three, now it's time to promote your meetup.
This fun part.
So exciting. Please do not underestimate. We are specifically calling it a meetup because we harnessed the power of meetup.com to help us promote our meetups. And I'm telling you, if you haven't, go on meetup.com after this video, create an account. You will see there are so many things going on in your community. And what's really cool with meetup.com is you've like checked some boxes of things that you're interested in. And so they will actually push out your event for you. And it's built in, like people can RSVP, they can ask you questions, you can put your location. I mean, I think you could even sell tickets if you really wanted to, but this is free. We promote free meetup. But again, there is some cost involved with being on the platform, but this platform, meetup, really does help you promote it. So we don't want you to skip that step.
Well, and I don't know if you just said this in another way, but meetup comes with a lot of people who already belong to the software. So when you create a meetup, and you give it a title, they will push it out to your community. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great way to have like this big email list of people to connect with without having a big email list. Did you kind of say that?
Yeah.
That was really powerful for us, finding like people that were not already a part of like our Facebook network or our own personal Instagram network.
Because you could have, you can check some boxes too. Like, yes, it's short-term rental, but real estate, like there's some other people, their interests that people will see about your meetup. So and it's really easy to use. I do want to tell you that too.
All right. Next, let's move into promoting your meetup outside of meetup.com. And there are other platforms that you can use, but we used and loved meetup.com. But I would, just so you can stay organized, get together a little plan for yourself of working backwards. Like whatever, you know, today's date is and then when your meetup is, figure out when you're going to promote your meetup via various social channels. And maybe you have people helping you plan this meetup. And this way, you can kind of give them a schedule of when you'd like them to post on their Facebook or their Instagram or their TikTok. Or maybe they are
LinkedIn. Don't forget LinkedIn.
Oh, LinkedIn. I was going to say, maybe they're already a professional in the space, like they're a realtor or a mortgage lender, or they're something to do with real estate or hospitality. And they might have an email list of people who might be interested in coming, but put together a promotional plan calendar of when you'll be shouting out. The whole point of this is to get people to come. And so to get people to come, you have to remind them to come. And you think I'm telling you, Annette and I know this quite well at this point in our careers, you think you're talking about it a lot,
You're not.
But you're not.
Talk about it more.
Talk about it more. Say it more times. Ask people to share it for you. It'll make your meetup a huge success. And the more you treat it like an event, like you would a birthday party that you're planning or a wedding that you're planning. I mean, it doesn't have to be that aggressive, but just putting a little bit of thought into the timing of promoting the event will make it more successful.
Yeah, so have that calendar for yourself. We can also share, we did put a little bit of money behind paid ads.
We did.
We wanted to see where that took us. So we even went that far. Again, we just paid for that of our own pockets in it. Also, if you do have those speakers, this is a great opportunity to request that the speakers also invite their network, and you could do some fun social posts with like their face, what they're going to be talking about, and then they can repost that. So make sure to include, like Sarah said, if you can get some partners to help you run the meetup and then also the speakers to promote it.
Annette, have you ever noticed how much time and energy goes into managing those small but essential tasks, like getting the trash bins out to the curb and back?
Totally. Trash valet is one of those things that has to get done every single time, no exceptions. But you don't want to ask your guests. They're there to enjoy their stay, not take on chores like taking out the trash. And cleaners, either they have too much on their plate or they may not even be there that day.
Hosts, if this sounds familiar, let us introduce you to Fido. Fido specializes in bin-to-curb trash valet, making sure your bins are where they need to be on time, every time.
And Fido doesn't stop there. They also handle excess trash hauling and pre-stay inspections with tech-enabled systems designed specifically for short-term rental hosts. So you aren't left wondering, did the trash bins actually get taken to the curb?
And right now, TFE listeners can get their first month of bin-to-curb service completely free.
So what are you waiting for? Head to getfido.com/TFE to sign up today and see how Fido can take those small but essential tasks off your plate.
Because when you hand off the small tasks, you gain the time and focus to grow your business where it really matters.
Step four, procuring sponsors. Let's do this. If you can get some folks actually sponsor the meetup, then you're not having to pay for the meetup.com fees. You're not having to pay for the pizza and the soda like Sarah and I did. So this is a part where you will be so excited and having this offer that you can offer to, let's think about it, maybe some cleaning companies, realtors, mortgage brokers. There are some people that do social media in your town, like asking those people, and sponsors, like, doesn't have to be these like giant five-figure contracts. It can be like, do you want to sponsor the pizza? Do you want to sponsor? We had a brewery that would like sponsor the beverages. So it doesn't even have to be actually monetary.
No.
Like we had a sponsor that sponsored the space and we would give their venue a shout out. So this is where you can get creative and think about a couple of things here. It's not just monetarily helping you compensate any of the fees that you might accrue, but also this is another way to network.
It is.
So even if you get some no's, who are those people that you want to do business with in your community that you've been wanting to reach out to? Now you're making them an offer. If they want to say no, they can say no, but now you've had contact with them. They know about your meetup. They know that you're trying to be involved in your community. So I would challenge you, when you start your meetup, just get a list of potential sponsors and just do a little sponsor kit. Tell them about your meetup, how many people are going to be there, and make some offers.
Step five, let's actually prep for the event. So to recap, we've got our location. We've got our date. We've got some speaker ideas. Mm-hmm. They've said yes, hopefully.
We've been marketing.
We're promoting. We
are some sponsors, hopefully.
Getting sponsors. And so now, about a month before the event, let's make sure the speaker is going to be there. So just confirm with them.
I laugh, but also just always be prepared for a speaker to not show. I mean, life happens.
Life does
so
happen.
So always have a backup plan there. We didn't put that in our notes, but have a backup plan that you might be the speaker.
Yes. When you have the speaker and they've confirmed, ask them, are they planning on just, you know, mic in hand? Which, speaking of mic, do you need a mic for your venue? How is everyone going to be able to hear the speaker? Does your venue have any audiovisual components? Can they have a slide deck? Maybe they're planning on having a slide deck, but you're like, we don't have slide decks yet. Like, we don't have
screens and TVs yet. And so letting them know that. So ask them how they plan on. And if they have any notes or an outline, if they can share it with you, it's kind of nice so that you know they're not going to go rogue on you.
Or that they've that actually planned out and thought out the education that they're going to give.
Yes. You should take it seriously, even though this is a meetup. Take it seriously that you are giving them an audience and you are the one.
You're the host.
Producing it.
Yeah.
And so you want to make sure the content the speaker is going to be speaking on is something you can get behind.
And relevant. Right. You don't want to be like caught off guard that it's their own agenda or something that you don't support.
Right. So giving yourself about a month heads up for all of that work will give you time to figure things out.
Make adjustments. And if they don't have their slides ready, still have a couple of weeks on your side.
Right. 2 weeks before, let's call the venue and your sponsors and confirm the food and beverage. Is it going to be donated? Do you have to bring it from somewhere else and bring it in? Is all that okay? Can you bring in outside food? Follow up with your speaker again. That can never hurt. Check in with your promotional calendar. Are posts being posted? Are people commenting? Just check in with the whole scene,
your
planning process.
Also, food and beverage, like, again, this is not mandatory. However,
people love food.
We are hosts. And so that was something that we wanted to provide because you also need to be cognizant of the time of your event. So our meetup was 7 p.m. And so we understood that a lot of people are probably coming from work. They might not have time to, you know, stop for dinner. So we wanted to have a larger event. And that way that food and beverage we thought would pull in more people. And again, our hosting hospitality background, we couldn't have people come through the doors without food and beverage for them.
No.
But you choose your own adventure there.
And the last step in this step, is to prepare your own remarks. So you're the host of the event. Yes, you have a speaker, but you need to make sure that you're welcoming everyone, like get on stage, announce who you are, especially for your first one, the purpose of the meetup. Maybe this is where you say, hey, I'm looking for help. Be specific with the help that you're asking for and set the tone for the evening. What is going to happen and when? Like, are you going to go speak up at the beginning of the meeting and then go right into introducing your speaker and then goes into networking, reminding them to tip their bartenders and their servers is always a good thing to set
the mood.
This
is your welcome message. It's essentially your welcome message to all of your guests that are there. And the biggest side effect of hosting a meetup is if you are the host, everybody wants to talk to you. I'm telling you this. This is something that I was not prepared for. Everybody wants to know who you are. They want to come up. They want to shake your hand. They want to connect with you on LinkedIn. They want to connect with you on social media. So going up and making yourself that, you know, that leader that you're wanting to be, this is that intro and that closing is so important because after the speakers speak, you're also going to want to do a closing, maybe do a Q&A. But that closing message is thanking everybody for coming to the event, letting them know you should have the date for the next one ready to go, having them RSVP. But this part is where you get to shine and where you can make those connections.
Yeah, so a week before, make sure this is dialed in. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be caught off guard unless you're good at improvising. But even then, you still want to have some bullet points and notes because when you get up there, you're going to have the excitement of all the people, the excitement of you getting your meetup off the ground without a hitch, hopefully, or even maybe something went wrong. And so having some like notes is good to keep you on track so you don't forget things like the next meetup date or any other important announcements.
Yeah, and letting them kind of know the timeline of the event of like, hey, we're going to have some opening remarks. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the speaker speak for about 20 minutes. There's going to be a Q&A. Then we're going to do networking after. You know, kind of just mapping out to the time frame of the event is really helpful. Step six, running the meetup. Like, today's the day. You are there. Step number one, I'm telling you, please, you have got to show up early.
Yes.
And I'm talking like way early, probably about an hour early, because you do need to do setup. And the reason I'm telling you have to show up early is you will have people that are going to show up early and you do not want to be caught off guard. Still setting up, disheveled, and those people that are there early, you want to make sure that you're being able to network and welcome them right out of the gate. So you have to show up early and start your setup.
I'd have everything ready 30 minutes before your go time. Mm-hmm. Even if you're then just like
milling around,
perfecting things, fine. Because yeah, once someone says hello to you and you start networking, that's it. Your checklist is out the window. Like, it's go time. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that. At least an hour early and then have everything ready by 30 minutes before.
And if you can, you want to have, even if you're doing the meetup solo, you have got to enlist friends, family to help you that day, because there are some critical things that you want to make sure that you're doing. You want to have a greeter at the front door. You are hosting this event. You want to say hello to everyone, let them know they're in the right spot, and take attendance, if you will. You do want to see who RSVP'd. You want to make sure, whether it's for an iPad, whether it's a sign-in sheet, you want to make sure you're collecting the names and the emails of the people that actually attended the event. And we can share with you, we've always had a greeter at our event, and some of them, like, the room wasn't right when you walked in the door. So you kind of need to, like, hey, you go upstairs and to the left, or, oh, you first, like, here's the waiting area and then into the room. So you just want to make sure that that welcome that greeter is really making those people feel welcome and taken care of right when they walk in the door. Because you'll start to see people are like, am I in the right spot? They've never been here before. It's just like a guest checking in. That's a nerve-wracking experience for them.
Also have someone there who can get some social media shots for you, whether they're photos or video, B-roll, stories, whatever you want to call it. It's really great to document the event in that way. They can get the speaker saying a few things. You can give that to the speaker so they can have it for their social channels.
If you do have sponsors, like, sponsors might have given you maybe some marketing materials or some signage. You want to make sure that that's in a place that everybody can see it. I don't know, maybe they even wanted a table, so you have a table set up for them so they can chat with any of their potential leads.
Get ready, because it is your responsibility to keep the energy high. If you have a personality type where that is going to be something that you either need to be very aware of or get someone else to help you be your hype person, either way, it really is on you to create that atmosphere. So whether there's, like, maybe music happening during the beginning of the event, or as you meet people, you're, like, connecting people with each other. If you see someone sitting by themselves, go over, introduce yourself. Like, that, it's up to you to create that vibe.
And there are a couple elements during the setup to you. If you do have audio visual, you do want to do a mic check. You do want to do a slide deck check. You just want to make sure that your AV is working ahead of time. And one, like, simple thing that we've done at a lot of our meetups is we did the old school name tags.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. Like, it's just like you're at a meetup. You're there to meet people. Make it easy for people to introduce themselves and to remember each other's names. Those are very small investment. You got to get some Sharpie markers and some hello, my name is tags. Those are my favorites. We love to supply those too. Step 7, follow up and growth. You've now had an amazing event. It was awesome. People cannot wait for the next one. So you've got to keep the momentum going. Again, it's just like having a guest. You can't just let them, like, check out and never talk to them again. You've got their information. You want to ask them for reviews. So you are going to follow up with them. Send out an email thanking them for coming to the event. Ask them for feedback. Ask them for a review. Ask them to post on their social about it. Ask them if they know anybody that potentially wants to speak next time.
You could also post a recap of the event on your social channels. LinkedIn is a great place to do that. You can also post information to meetup.com. Don't forget about the software you're using to promote it, because it'll help you promote it month after month. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're more of a TikToker or an Instagrammer, whatever your choice is, recap it. Tag the speaker, tag the sponsors. It's cool if you show photos and video of the event, how awesome it was, share the next date. But long-term strategy is building on the momentum of the previous one and taking note of things that didn't go quite to plan or that you think you can tighten up so that you get better with every meetup.
Mm-hmm. And we can share. You might be thinking, how often should we be hosting a meetup? This is where you really need to know thyself. When I first started doing meetups, I was doing them monthly, and the months would fly by. I felt like we would just, like, close the door on the meetup and we'd be, like, welcoming, because it is work. It's a lot of work, yeah. And it's worth it. So we chose to do them quarterly.
Did we?
Yeah.
But also, because a quarter goes fast too, you could maybe do them every other month. Again, you just have to like know yourself. Know like if you have a team of people, it might be easier. But this is something that you also want to get your group so they understand when the next one's coming around. So, you know, maybe it's the third Thursday of the third month. So you just kind of have like this regular thing. I know Sarah's husband hosts a meetup. He is aggressive. He does a monthly and it's like the first Tuesday of every month. So everybody just kind of knows, oh, that's when the meetup is. So if you can get on a normal cadence, again, whether it's monthly, every other month, quarterly, just helping people know when that meetup is, they can plan ahead for it.
It's exciting though, because you mentioned my husband's meetup, Nick, and people who attend it have been attending it for years.
Yeah.
I mean, years. I think his meetup started in 2018 and there are still people who haven't missed a meetup. So it really becomes a thread in the fabric of your community. Like I'm being a little dramatic there, but it really does. Like, and that is the power of you stepping up and making the decision that you're going to get these like-minded people together and you're going to host a really great event. You're going to have a great atmosphere where people feel supported and seen and heard. And we can all talk about the nerdy things we like talking about, like hosting.
And I do want to reiterate, because it just came to my head, like we can't even get into it on this video, but the relationships that you are going to build, like I have business partners that I have real estate deals with that I've met at meetups. You know, Sarah and I, it wasn't an actual meetup, but it was a city council meeting, you know, but there is an energy when you can meet people live in person that you just can't get anywhere else. And I'm telling you, taking that time out of your schedule and being the host will make you a leader in your community and then the leader of Airbnbs in your community. So do this. And what's great is you're volunteering. So give it a try. Test it. Like Sarah and I, we did it until COVID. And then, you know, we didn't bring it back, but we loved that time that we did do it. You know, you're not beholden to it. So give it a shot. Let us know. We're excited for you to be the leader in your community.
So I can't wait to hear how all of you get inspired. If you end up starting a meetup of your own, will you please email us? hi@thanksforvisiting.com. We'd love to, maybe we could promote your meetup on our Instagram stories or tell us how it went.
We just want to support you.
We want to support you because our communities need to know that short-term rental hosts are incredible humans. We care about our neighborhoods. We care about our community. And there are just so many opportunities that you don't even know what's going to come out of these meetups right away. Like you'll have fun that night. You'll be reeling from it the next week, but then you'll be surprised. I mean, a year or two will go by and something incredible will happen as a result of your efforts of getting people together. So that's exciting. And with that, I am Sarah Karakane.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Can we make you a personalized podcast playlist? Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of Thanks for Visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today.